Sound of Hockey episode 108. We're calling this one the Tanner Pearson episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Well, Tanner Pearson has 108 career goals.
Wow.
Yeah.
You dug deep for that one, huh?
Yeah, deep cut.
All right. Well, that's exciting stuff. This is Sound of Hockey. We are coming to you from Seattle. I am Darren Brown, at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter, joined as always by Andy Ide. Hello, Andy.
How's it going? I'm at Andy Ide on the Twitter.
And John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL2 Seattle on the Twitter.
And I think I already said they were coming to you from Seattle, but we are coming to you from Seattle. We're recording super late night on Saturday, which means that I've had a couple of college sodas, which means that this is going to be a fantastic show because this is when I do my best work.
Yeah.
We start with a review. This one comes from Sheerwood. Sheer is one word and wood is the second word, so I don't know if this is like the stick brand or if this is like maybe somebody named Cher, Sherwood.
Wasn't that the forest in the Robin Hood? Wasn't it Sherwood Forest?
That was Nottingham. Oh, yeah, yeah. The sheriff is from Nottingham, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, 5 stars from Sherwood. Anything less than 5 stars would be uncivilized. Great podcast and info on hockey. Enjoy hearing the things going on with the Kraken and current NHL topics. Would like to hear more about other local hockey news and info going on in our neck of the woods, okay, whether it be junior hockey or whatever. Well, we have had 3 junior hockey players from the neck of the woods in the last 2 weeks, so try in on that. Mm-hmm. It's great hearing the interviews from the players and our local teams, so more of that and or even from the staff who work behind the scenes and what their daily routine is during the season. Also, if I could request any guest to come on your podcast, you should try Jesse Galinzi. Some of the stories I'd hear from him and Andy were always great, minus their road trip home from Try. And last but not least, go Tips. So, Andy, what can you comment on there?
Jesse Galinzi is a great guy. I think we may have told all of our stories on our old podcast, though. I don't know. Okay. He's moved to Pittsburgh now, so we haven't had any new stories.
And he really doesn't cover hockey at all anymore, so I'm not sure if I could really make a legitimate reason for having him on, but I appreciate it. I've spoken to Jesse before. He's a very good guy. So,
yeah.
But nonetheless, Sherwood, we really appreciate the feedback and the positive 5-star review there, and we appreciate you listening. Do leave your 5-star review if you haven't already, and we'll read it for you on the next show. All right, let's dive into it. We have a lot to talk about this week, and I want to tell you, it has been one of the crazier weeks of transactions that I've seen as a hockey fan. So, basically, you know, if you listened last week, we played a game of interesting or carry on. Most of this show is going to be one long interesting or carry on, but we'll keep it moving. We'll keep it humming. So I think you'll enjoy. Let's start with the draft, though. So some notable things. I enjoyed Alex Trebek announcing the Ottawa Senators' first pick. I thought that was pretty cool.
Here is the host of Jeopardy, Alex Trebek.
Thank you, Johnny. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jeopardy. Our category today is the NHL, and here is the clue for you. With the 3rd pick in the 2020 NHL draft, the Ottawa Senators choose this player. The correct response? Who is Tim Stützle?
I love that. I love that. And it's classic. I mean, he's a good Canadian boy, right? But
that's right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I wish they would do more kind of creative stuff like that.
Do we know if Tim Stützle, that's who the pick was, do we know if he knows who Alex Trebek is? Did they get Jeopardy in Germany?
I would guess he knows. Well, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. We should ask him. Let somebody call Tim Stützle.
Okay, yeah,
we'll get him on the phone. I have a question for you. Is it Tim Stützle or is it Tim Stützle? Because all the people on NBC were calling him Tim Stützle.
I've seen them both. And I also noticed that they changed the spelling of his name, like the jersey they gave him, to S-T-U-E instead of just S-T-U with the umlauts. But I think that's so we Americans can pronounce it phonetically correct.
Sure. Okay. I'm pro umlaut for the record.
Yeah,
so
me too.
Let's hope that there's umlauts. We also have a note here. It just says, Craig Button yells about things. What do you guys want to say there?
Well, if you watch the first round of the draft, he got fired up about all kinds of things and just started yelling. And most notably about drafting a goalie. You know, he was saying it was fine to draft a goalie, and he got mad at people who said it wasn't and started yelling at the TV screen. He was yelling a lot during the first round for some reason.
Yeah, he was very loud. I noticed that, too. Like, compared to all the people that he was with, he seemed to be significantly louder, which I get. I talk very loud and probably much louder than you guys, so I understand.
And thankfully, he wasn't there for the unbearable length of the second day, because that would have been a lot to take for the 12 hours.
Yeah, it was painful. The second day was pretty painful. I would agree with you on that. Yaroslav Askarov drops all the way to number 11 for, well, I don't know if that's that far. We thought he would probably be a top 10 guy, so.
You did. I don't think I did.
Okay, whatever. But he lands in Nashville, which I think is a great fit, right? They have Pekka Rinne, who is obviously on his way out pretty soon. So, and, you know, good young goalie there in UC Saros. So there's a good fit for Askarov. Makes you wonder if there's going to be teams kicking themselves for not taking him. But, you know, there's always the question marks around taking a goalie and all that stuff.
Yes, so. There is.
Yep. And then the Doug Wilson Jr. thing. John, did you want to comment on this? I agree that this is a pretty cool thing that we should definitely discuss.
Yeah, so it was the last pick in the first round. San Jose, essentially they got Tampa Bay's pick for Barclay Goodrow being traded. But so it was the last pick. And, you know, there's a lot of players that are kind of want to get in that first round, even though, you know, there's not big difference between, you know, last in the first round or, you know, second in the second round. But it's that first night and it's something special. But so it's a big deal to get picked in the first round. So this was the last pick, and it was Ozzie Weisblatt. And Doug Wilson signed Ozzie's name on the broadcast when he announced the pick. And it's because...
Like with sign language.
With sign language. That's because Ozzie's mother is deaf. And so you can imagine a special moment of her being able to participate in that moment of his son getting picked because she saw his name being signed. So I thought that was... pretty cool, kind of, to me, own the night for the most part for me.
Yeah, and I love that the reaction at the Weisblatt house.
Owns.
They had the camera set up, as they did with a lot of the first rounders, and their family went crazy. They were all jumping around, so it was pretty cool to see that whole scene.
Yeah.
Perhaps the biggest and most notable item was that Gunnar Wolf Fontaine finally got drafted.
I don't know if he's quite a friend of the pod, but he's a name that we've talked about multiple times.
Yep.
But here's the thing. He played for the Chicago Steel, and speaking of friends of the pod, we had the GM of the Chicago Steel on during the kind of the COVID break, if you will, and Chicago Steel had 5 players picked in that round, so they had a really good draft. And then we might as well chime in with the people we had on the pod before the actual draft. Matt Rempe got selected, Seth Jarvis got selected, obviously, and Gage Gonsalves got selected as well. And Tyrell Bauer, we had him on before Thunderbirds training camp last year. So over a year ago, we had him on the pod. So good draft for the friends of the pod.
Yes.
So the lesson there is, absolutely, if you're a draft prospect, come on our podcast. You'll get drafted.
Yeah. And then obviously, I mean, the top 5, Alexis Lafreniere, Quinton Byfield, Tim Stützle to Ottawa, as they call it on Fox News. Nobody really surprised by any of those picks, I don't think. Lucas Raymond goes to Detroit. Jake Sanderson goes to Ottawa as well. I know that Sanderson was a little bit of a surprise. I think that not everyone expected him to make top 5. But nonetheless, sounds like he's a pretty solid defensive prospect. So,
and he's from Montana.
Ah, very cool. So that's it. The draft, I mean, it was interesting, the virtual stuff. I thought it was fine. I thought they handled it fine. The only thing about it that I think was a little bit of an issue is that there was always a lag. So you could, they'd announce who the pick was, and then they'd show the family, and it would take them like a good 10 seconds to actually react to it, which was a bit of a challenge probably for them. But no big deal. I thought overall they handled it all pretty well.
Well, and how about one thing I also want to call out is Bear Hughes getting picked. I don't know if you know much, and Andy, chime in if I get anything wrong, but barely been playing in the WHL. He's played for the Spokane Braves, which is like a junior A or junior B team in Spokane, but plays in Canada. And then he got essentially promoted to the Spokane Chiefs. He's from Idaho originally, Post Falls, Idaho, which is right outside Liberty Lake, which is where Tyler Johnson's from. But like literally in the
full circle,
the Spokane suburb. So that was like a little bit of a surprise to me. I mean, I know there was talk about him potentially getting drafted, but it seemed like he still had he'd only had one really good year under his belt. And so I just expected him to maybe think about next year or turning pro some other way. But pretty incredible story for him.
Yeah. Okay, so that was your NHL draft of 2020. What a year it has been. We're now going to move on to Interesting or Carry-On. So we did this, again, we did this last week for the first time. We got some feedback that it was an enjoyable piece of our show. And so we're going to try it out as a segment. I think it's a pretty good way to handle these situations when there's like a lot of news all at once. So the free agency thing was quite interesting yesterday, Friday. There's just been so many names flying around. There's been trades and all kinds of stuff. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to run through every team alphabetically, starting with Anaheim and ending with Winnipeg. And we'll just try to lump everything together. I'm sure we're going to miss some transactions in here. We're not covering all of the re-signings. We're covering some of them. But if we miss something that's important, you know what? Just write it in your five-star review and we'll mention it next week. So Anaheim signed Derek Grant and Kevin Shattenkirk. Interesting or carry on?
Interesting.
Okay.
The reason I find it interesting is Anaheim has a pretty stacked blue line of potential young guys and some other guys. So they're going to be in a predicament on who to protect and who to expose in the expansion draft. And I would be, if I had some money to bet on it, I imagine we will get a defenseman from Anaheim. So keep an eye on Anaheim as far as a potential Kraken player being selected from the blue line.
John, this is just as an aside, but I noticed that when you say Anaheim, you say it with an N at the end consistently. Anaheim. Just something I noticed. Arizona signed John Hayden, Tyler Pitlick, and Johan Larson. They're also still in talks to potentially trade Oliver Ekman-Larsson. And it's more than likely that they're losing Taylor Hall. Sounds like that's pretty much 100%, although we don't know where he's going as of the recording of the show.
Update. Taylor Hall signed a one-year deal with Buffalo. What a crazy person. Maybe he'll be a Seattle Kraken.
Interesting or carry on?
Carry on.
Okay. Boston signed Kevan Miller. It's pronounced Kevin, but it's spelled Kevan Miller. And Craig Smith, 3 years, $9 million for Smith. They also let Torrey Krug walk in free agency. Interesting or carry on?
Interesting. Similar thing with that Anaheim was with. They've got a lot. They've got some decisions to make, and they've got some young guys that they're going to have to expose. So the fact that they signed Craig Smith, who I really like, but he'll probably be protected. Yep. That'll expose somebody else.
Buffalo Sabres signed Cody Eakin and Brandon Montour, and they re-upped Zemgus Girgensons and Tage Thompson. Interesting or carry on? Carry on.
Yeah.
Calgary signed Chris Tanev for 4 years and $4.5 million per. I don't know that much about Chris Tanev other than that one, like, picture
what?
Of him
with
when
his hair.
He had his hair like over his face in the Wild series.
Do you remember him scoring the series winning overtime goal against the Wild? Do you remember that?
I do. Jacob Markstrom also 6 years, $6 million, and Louis Domingue. So basically they're just, I'm going to call this one interesting. They're basically just like taking anyone they can get from the Vancouver Canucks. Markstrom is obviously a pretty big pickup. He was arguably, I'd say he was definitely the biggest free agent goalie on the market. So what are your thoughts on this, Andy? I'm sure you have some.
Well, I think the Markstrom thing, you can see that coming when Vancouver didn't sign him, when they had the chance to be the only ones negotiating with him. And then we started hearing that it was either going to be Calgary or Edmonton. So that wasn't a surprise. Chris Tanev has been a really solid defenseman for them for a long time. He was on their 2011 Stanley Cup team that lost to Boston. So he goes back a long ways with the Canucks. So that's a bit of a bummer just from a Canucks standpoint. He's a really good, solid defenseman for him. Not a big scorer, but he did a lot of good things. So that's gonna be a blow. And I don't care about Louis Domingue. Sorry, Louis.
Carolina signed Jesper Fast. I'm gonna say we're just carrying on from that one. Chicago re-signed Malcolm Subban and Dominic Kubalik. Let Corey Crawford walk, which surprised me a bit. I thought they were positioning themselves to kind of make sure that they could keep him. Traded Brandon Saad away, as well as Dennis Gilbert, in exchange for Anton Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov from Colorado. What do you guys have to say about this one? Interesting or carry on?
Slightly interesting. Zadorov might have been a potential pick from Colorado for Seattle. So that changes things a little bit. And then Saad going the other way is going to be interesting, I think. So slightly interesting.
Yep.
I like it for Colorado. I like Brandon Saad.
We're going to call that carry on plus or maybe interesting negative.
Negative.
Interesting minus. Interesting. Yeah.
Interesting-ish.
Colorado re-signs Val Nichushkin and Andrei Burakovsky. Trades for, as we just mentioned, Brandon Saad and Dennis Gilbert. I'll call this one interesting minus. It's like, they didn't do that much, but Brandon Saad is he's a good player. So that's a top six forward. That's already a deep forward squad. They came up short this year really because of goaltending and injuries to their goaltending. So I still think, this was my pick for the cup this year. I think they're going to have a shot at it again next year. I think this is a very, very deep team. So
except,
we shall see what happens.
Except their goaltending.
They still have a lot of space too.
The Colts, well, they had injuries to their goaltender though, right? Like, you know,
yeah,
both of their top two guys got hurt. So we'll see. I think they're going to be a team to be reckoned with next year. Columbus traded Josh Anderson for Max Domi, then signed Domi to a 2-year deal. They also traded Marcus Nutivaara for Cliff Poo, one of the best names in hockey. And they also signed Mikko Koivu, that's going to be weird for us Minnesota Wild fans seeing Koivu in anything other than green and red. And they also traded away former Everett Silvertip Ryan Murray, which actually cleared about $11 million in cap space. So
yeah,
interesting moves there by Columbus.
Yeah, and you know, Murray's been really good for them. He's had some injury issues, but I think this was more of a – they got a fifth rounder, I think, back from New Jersey on that. So I think this was definitely more to clear up some cap space. So then the next question is, do they have something else in the works here with $11 million or not?
Time will tell.
Yeah.
Dallas re-signed Anton Khudobin. That's about all I have. I'm going to say not that interesting, although Khudobin, obviously, big piece.
He's interesting.
Yeah, he's interesting. He's human.
But he might be on the Seattle's radar a little bit, wouldn't he?
I don't know. He's pretty old.
He could be old by then, but you'd have to have a young goaltender as well.
Yeah, let's put a pin in that.
Detroit, I think this is pretty interesting. They signed Troy Stetcher, Tomas Greiss, John Merrill, and Bobby Ryan. And they made it to the cap floor, which people were wondering how they were going to do that.
They did it.
But yet they still have something like $20 million in cap space. So pretty clever work here by Steve Yzerman. And you can see kind of the direction that he's got his team heading in. So good on him. Edmonton signed Mike Smith, Tyson Barrie.
Whoa.
I think John's interested in that Detroit.
Real quick, Bobby Ryan signed a one-year deal at $1 million. So, you know, we're all kind of rooting for him. But that, you know, hopefully he has a bounce back year kind of thing. And maybe he's looking for a new home next year.
With a new team?
With a team that might have a lot of cap space. Just FYI, Bobby Ryan.
Edmonton signed Mike Smith, Tyson Barrie, Kyle Turris, and they re-signed Jesse Puljujarvi, who we talked about him. He had kind of disappeared into Finland for last season. They did not tender an offer to Andreas Athanasiou, or as I like to call him, Andreas Happy to See You. There's some interesting stuff there. I mean, Tyson Barrie, I mean, he became public enemy number one for some reason in Toronto, because that just happens to somebody.
Because they didn't win.
Yeah,
so it's his fault.
Yeah, and it's obviously Tyson Barrie's fault. Yeah. Kyle Turris, you know, early 30s, has shown that he's a good player at times, but also is kind of inconsistent. And then the Puljujarvi thing, right? That's also kind of interesting, because he had high expectations, didn't meet him, went away for a while, and now he's back.
Some specifics on Barrie. He signs a one-year deal. Again, he probably took a little bit of a pay cut here, but it's only for a year, so maybe he's looking to cash in next year if he has a little bit of a bounce back. Turris was also kind of a bubble candidate to be picked in Nashville, because he was bought out by Nashville.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's why he re-signed. And then Puljujarvi coming back. Turris and Puljujarvi, more specifically, if he plays, they're going to have to make a tough decision on who to protect as well. So the forwards are a little tight there, right? Yeah.
If Puljujarvi is or exposed, he would be an interesting guy to look at, just because of the potential there. I mean, he hasn't lived up to it in the NHL, obviously, but I think he had a decent season in Finland. He would be interesting.
Right. So if he has a good year, he's probably going to get protected. So then
that too, that could happen too.
So it's kind of like he's not going to have a good year, so he'll be exposed. So who knows? You're right, though.
Just a name to keep
He's also literally interesting to look at, because I don't know if you guys saw that picture of him going around on Twitter with that gigantic chin on his Zoom interview. I don't know what was going on there. Like, is that how he looks in real life? Like, does he have a gigantic Jay Leno chin?
I can say that I've never really paid attention to his chin.
Now, he likes to chew on his mouthpiece a lot, so that's what I remember about him.
He's built up his chin that way.
Fascinating. the Florida Panthers signed, I can't get this name, Carter Verhaeghe? Is that how you say
sure.
it? I know he just won the Stanley Cup. Okay. It's a tough one. There's a lot of G's and H's in there. Alexander Wenberg, Vinny Hinostroza, and Radko Gudas. Interesting or carry on?
Real quick, Wenberg. Yeah, he was also bought out by Columbus. So he's on a one-year deal, maybe looking to make a name for himself, might relocate, might get sick of all the sun down in Florida. So
maybe want some rain.
Yeah.
Los Angeles Kings signed Sean Walker, traded for noted metal thrower awayer and cord tripper on Elias Anderson. Also traded Brad Morrison for Olli Mäntä, who we remember fell asleep on a balcony after winning the Stanley Cup with the Penguins. So interesting or carry on?
Elias Anderson's interesting.
Okay. So we're going to call this one interesting minus. Go ahead.
Interesting minus. Seventh overall in the draft for the Rangers and never really panned out. So he's another one that's got some, allegedly has some potential, but hasn't really proven it in the league yet.
Minnesota signs Cam Talbot as their goalie after trading away Devin Dubnyk and Ryan Donato. They also traded Luke Cunnan to Nashville for Nick Bonino. Are we calling this one interesting or are we carrying on?
I think we need to talk about this.
Oh,
what do you think about Cam Talbot?
I'm fine with it. I mean, they just need him to be solid. Like they're not going to win the Stanley Cup again this year. But I think they would have been a much better team if they just got the saves they were supposed to get. And they didn't get that from Devin Dubnyk. Like, all the stats show that they're actually a pretty good team defensively. So I'm fine with it. I wish they would have gotten Corey Crawford because I think Crawford.
Whoa, wait, well, hold on. You hate better, Corey Crawford.
Yeah, because he's the thing of my nightmares, right? But on my team, I would like it. Okay. I know his health is a question mark always because of all the concussions he's had. But
well, Talbot,
I guess I'm fine with it. Talbot's fine. I'm fine with Talbot.
I thought Talbot is too old. He's 33 and they signed him for a 3-year deal.
Yeah,
but you bring up Corey Crawford and he's 35. So
yeah, but how long did Crawford sign for?
2 years.
Right. So
I mean, Talbot is a good goalie, right? He's mm-hmm. better than probably he gets a lot of credit for. So I think it's good, but he is older. So I was just wondering what you thought about him. And then Dubnyk, I know he didn't have a great year, but wasn't this like his only really bad year?
He's been trending down the last couple of years. This past year, his wife was having a lot of medical issues. So yeah. I think he was a little bit distracted. So, I mean, this year he really was bad. Like, he had a very, very bad season. But I think a lot of it can probably be attributed to that. So anyway, I don't want to talk any more minutia because I don't want to get in trouble. Montreal traded Max Domi for Josh Anderson, as we mentioned. They then re-signed Josh Anderson to a big ticket. 7 years, $5.5 million. Interesting or carry on?
I think it's interesting. Because they have a lot of defensemen now on that team.
Mm. Yep.
Notice we haven't had too many carry-ons. Nashville signed Nick Cousins, Matt Benning, and Mark Borowiecki, the Borocop. Remember, he thwarted that robbery. Is this interesting or carry on?
Carry on.
Carry on. Okay. One quick note, though. I'm going to call it carry on plus. Mark Borowiecki, I look forward to when they have him interview the owner in Nashville because we know that's going to be just fiery TV. So New Jersey signed Corey Crawford. Definitely interesting. Traded Joey Anderson for Andreas Janssen and also traded for Ryan Murray, former Everett Silvertip. Is this interesting or carry on?
Carry on.
Carry on. Okay. You know what? Crawford and Mackenzie Blackwood, they're going to be an interesting combo there. I'll be intrigued to see how they do with those two goalies.
I was just going to say New Jersey just had a pretty decent offseason, I think.
We thought that last year too, and then they
you should bet a hot plate on them making the playoffs this year, John.
No, I just think they didn't try to do too much, right? They did the right amount, in just trying to make progress, right, and get Blackwood some experience in front of them. And
the New York Islanders, wow, they signed Sebastian Aho.
Yeah,
it's the other one, Sebastian Aho.
The old one. The 24-year-old.
Joke as old as time there. And then Tomas Greiss has left in free agency. I'm just going to plant a big carry-on on that one.
Yep.
The Rangers signed Jack Johnson, so he's going to come make some banana pancakes. And they also bought out Henrik Lundqvist, which is a pretty big deal. And then, of course, they got Alexis Lafreniere with the overall number one pick, which is, I guess that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I say carry on, but we'll talk Lundqvist in a minute, I think.
The Ottawa Senators traded for and signed Matt Murray for 4 years, $25 million. That seems like a big number for Matt Murray. They also traded for Austin Watson, Eric Gabranson, and they did not offer a qualifying deal to Anthony Duclair. Interesting or carry on?
Interesting. I mean, the Matt Murray, I think, was a they needed a goalie, but then that means they're probably going to protect Matt Murray. And they have some decent kind of younger goalies in their pipeline. So that'll be interesting to me because they'll probably protect Matt Murray since they signed a 4-year deal that shows they want to have him around for a while. But Ottawa, again, and we didn't kind of cover their draft. They had the most draft picks and, two in the top five. So I think they're, I really believe in what Ottawa's doing the last year, and I think this is just further proof of it.
They had a really good draft too. They had three first round picks, and they're on the way up. Even though we like to make fun of them.
It's, well, I was just going to say, it's funny how much we made fun of them a year ago, right? And like just absolutely ripped on them every single week. And yeah, I mean, remember Pierre Dorion doing the thing where he's like, oh yeah, we're a team, right? Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But it seems like he actually had a plan after all, and it seems to be working pretty well. So good on him. Philadelphia re-signed Brian Elliott. Plant a big old carry-on on that one.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh signed Evan Rodriguez, Mark Jankowski, and Josh Curry. I think probably carry on, unless you guys think otherwise.
Carry on.
San Jose signed Kevin LeBanc, and also, as we mentioned, they traded for Ryan Donato and Devin Dubnyk. John, interesting, or carry on?
Carry on.
Okay. St. Louis signs Torrey Krug. 99.999% sure that they've officially lost Alex Pietrangelo. Interesting or carry on?
Well, the Pietrangelo's a name to watch. That's one of the big free agent fish out there. So where he goes will be interesting.
Update. Alex Pietrangelo signed with Vegas for 7 years and $61 million American dollars. That's a lot of American dollars.
No real change on the expansion exposure front because Krug just essentially replaces Pietrangelo.
Yeah, he'll be protected.
The Tampa Bay Lightning, who won the Stanley Cup and are in a pretty significant cap crunch, they re-signed Luke Shen and Patrick Maroon. But then they put Tyler Johnson on waivers, hoping that somebody would take him, and nobody did take him. So that's interesting. Obviously, you know, we've been singing the praises of Tyler Johnson the last couple weeks, but it is kind of known that he's probably lost a bit of a step, and he's got a really big contract. So I get why people didn't take it. I'm curious to see where he lands now, because at this point, I mean, he's cleared waivers, so he's essentially an AHL player at this juncture in time. Am I correct on that?
Yes, he gets his regular salary. But that won't count against the cap hit. But I think it'll increase pressure on him to make a deal on who he can be traded to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he shouldn't be playing in the AHL. He's still got plenty of years left.
Would agree.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot. I saw even some pretty high profile media types from Canada talking about, they'll set him up well to be in Seattle next year. You got to figure he's going to be in Seattle next year. A lot of people are saying that. That's a little like a bit of a stretch assumption there.
Well, it depends on where he goes, right? And what that team's situation is and who else is
available.
I mean,
yeah, just because he's from here doesn't mean you pick him. I mean, if there's a better option, you make the team better, right?
Yep,
if you want to trade for him, that might be a different story.
Minnesota has been playing that angle for years, and I promise you it doesn't work.
So has Vancouver. Well, Vancouver fans have. Vancouver fans want all the BC guys, but the team has kind of stayed away
from
it.
It only works in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
It
only works
in Toronto. Speaking of teams that sign their hometown guys, the Toronto Maple Leafs have signed Wayne Simmonds, which there you go. Comically, he said in the media that he's not actually a Leafs fan, even though he grew up in Toronto.
Detroit
he
fan.
Grew
Detroit
up as
fan.
A Red Wings fan. They also signed TJ Brody, which is probably the bigger, more notable signing. 4 years, $5 million per for TJ Brody. I thought that was a little intriguing because I feel like they're always trying to find a right shot guy to play on the right side. So he's a left shot guy. So I don't know, maybe they'll have him play on the right side just as a left shot. They also signed Travis Boyd and Zach Bogosian, and they traded away Andreas Janssen for Joey Anderson, as we mentioned moments ago. Interesting or carry on?
I think it's decent to see them kind of adding a little bit more grit and sandpaper, if you will.
Interesting minus. Yeah.
Given grades. It's a B.
So Vancouver, obviously they lost Markstrom and Tanev and Louis Domingue. I know you're upset about Louis Domingue,
yes,
Andy.
Yes, I am. And Stetcher. They also lost Stetcher.
Yep, that's right. But they replaced Markstrom with Braden Holtby, $4.3 million a year. That's an interesting one for a lot of reasons. I'll let you guys tell me why.
Well, I think Holtby is somebody that, you know, could be circled here in Seattle. Interesting thing about his contract, a two-year deal. The first one pays out at $2.9 million. The second year is $5.7 million. So there's definitely a higher price that second year. Not sure what that'll mean, you know, for Seattle or anything. But Vancouver overall has a lot of work to do still. They only have five defensemen under contract right now, which is not ideal. They have some cap space, but they've got a lot of contracts that are coming due here in the next couple of years. So they have to be a little careful. And it's their own doing. They signed a lot of bad contracts over the year, and now they're paying for it.
Yeah, the Holtby is definitely interesting. And I saw a lot of people saying, we don't want Holtby's lost a step. But there's not a lot of specific starting goalies, some legitimate starting goalies out there right now that will be exposed. And the backloading this contract might be to make sure that Seattle takes on a little bit more of the pay. And it I've also seen these backloaded deals are intended because of escrow right now and how it relates to the flat cap, where it's going to be a higher escrow this year, and then next year it starts to loosen up a bit, or at least that's the plan or the hope. So I'm not saying Holtby's coming to Seattle, but I think if he has a decent year, right, and plays 20 or 30 games with decent numbers, I think he's a pretty good candidate to come to Seattle.
Especially if you got somebody else that was young and upcoming with him, like kind of what Vancouver's done here, because he's going to share the net with Thatcher. He's like kind of the bridge for Thatcher.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, I love the signing for Vancouver. I think it's excellent. It gives them just enough insurance if Demko doesn't work out the way they want. Like, yes, if he's not,
we're
quite
calling
ready.
Him Thatcher now. We're on first name basis.
Yeah, that was. Some, I'm not. Buddies. I'm not the Canucks fan.
He and I are buddies.
So, and he's from California, so I should call him by Thatcher.
Yeah.
So anyway, I love the signing for Vancouver.
It almost feels like they came into this expecting it to essentially be a 1 year deal, but like it's almost like, all right, we want you for 1 year. We want you to play well. And then we're not going to protect you because we have this young stud goalie, right? But this way, it essentially guarantees you a nice payday and the second year anyway. So sign this deal for us, knowing that you're going to play for us for 1 year and then probably play for Seattle the following year. And hey, not a big deal because you don't even have to move that far. It's only like a couple hour drive, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very interesting just how that was structured. I feel like a lot of teams did stuff like this, right? Like 2 year deals, not giving no move clauses to guys that seem like they might kind of make sense to Seattle. So it's almost like, you know, the teams know what they're doing in these signings, but also I wonder how much the players know, like, okay, I'm a target for Seattle. I'm going to sign this deal now, kind of expecting it to almost be a 1 year thing, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, interesting stuff. I saw a lot of that going on. You guys are right that this Holtby signing is definitely interesting. Vegas traded away Paul Stastny, which is definitely interesting. They're also in a cap crunch. They re-signed Tomáš Nosek, and they're trying to sign Alex Pietrangelo. Interesting or carry on?
Well, if they do sign Pietrangelo, that makes them a pretty good team. They were already a good team.
Then it's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Then it's interesting. All right. It's an interesting asterisk.
Yes.
Yeah. So this may become interesting by the time you actually hear this podcast.
That's right.
Because, again, we're recording on Saturday.
Asterisk removed. Vegas is confirmed as interesting.
Washington re-signed Brendan Dillon, friend of the pod. 4 years, $3.9 million per. Nice little ticket for that guy. Love that guy. Good man. Good man, Brendan Dillon. Good to
friend
see him
of the
get
pod.
Paid.
Friend of the pod.
Yep. Also signed Trevor Van Riemsdyk and, as we mentioned, Henrik Lundqvist for 1 year each. I'd say that's probably interesting.
Yeah, I like Lundqvist there. We talked about this a little bit last week, that could be a really good spot for him. And you know, they look pretty good. You know, of course they did look good this last year, but they've done some good things there. I think Dillon gives them, you know, he was there at the end of the year, but they kind of struggled on defense before he got there, so they've shored that up a little bit.
Yeah, I like Lundqvist there too. I think it's a really good fit. They're a good team that obviously needed a goalie, and frankly, he's, you know, I don't know how much of the playing time he's going to get because they have Samsonov there, right? So people think that he's the kind of the goalie of the future slash now ish, but he's still kind of unproven, so it makes sense to bring in a guy like Lundqvist to kind of platoon with him. So I really like the signing both for Lundqvist and for Washington. And then Winnipeg, they signed Dylan DeMello, Nathan Beaulieu, Luca Sabisa, and Nate Thompson. None of those, I mean, Nate Thompson I know is a kind of a local guy. None of those are super big needle movers in my opinion, but then they do trade for Paul Stastny, which we just mentioned that. So that's kind of a big deal, I think. He's, you know, mid-30s guy, but definitely a solid centerman and interestingly played a few games for Winnipeg before getting traded again a couple years ago.
Yeah. Well, I saw a theory, and I wonder what you guys think of this, that by acquiring Stastny, that they may be less likely to give up Patrick Laine, because Laine's name has been in trade rumors for a while, there was a theory out there that by adding a guy like Stastny that they weren't going to break up that line.
Yeah, okay. I guess, but it's like hard for me to I don't know what the hell they're planning.
Yeah, so exactly. It wasn't their problem last year on the blue line anyways, like defense?
Maybe. Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yes. They were pretty bad defensively, and that was like the reason that Connor Hellebuyck won the Vezina, right?
Yeah, he faced the most shots of anybody in the league.
All right, so that wraps up Interesting or Carry On. That was a long one, and I think we ended with most of them being interesting. So good stuff there. We move on to our weekly one-timers. Whoopsh. And we only have a couple. Our first weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. Justin Williams, Mr. Game 7, has retired from hockey. He started his career in the year 2000. It was a good long career for him. Won, how many Stanley Cups did he win? A couple, right?
He won three, Darren.
Ah, thank you for having that knowledge readily available.
One with the Hurricanes of Carolina and then two with the Los Angeles Kings.
Obviously a good career for him. He was just a solid player and everybody speaks so highly of him. So good on him. Wishing him the very best. Congratulations, Justin Williams, on a great career, and I'm sure you're listening. Our next and final weekly one-timer. COVID has unfortunately hit the queue. What's the latest on this, Andy?
Well, we remember the QMJHL decided to go earlier than all the other CHL teams, and it hasn't gone well. There's been a bunch of games already rescheduled. There's one team, the Sherbrooke Eagles, I believe they are called, who had about 17 guys test positive for COVID.
Whoa.
They've had games canceled and rescheduled, so it's been a pretty rocky start, to say the least, for the queue.
Yikes. Yikes, yikes. Yeah. Not wee-wee. Yikes, yikes. We close the show with our tweets of the week. Andy, your tweet of the week.
So my tweet of the week is a callback to earlier we talked about Craig Button. So Matt Porter, mm-hmm. who covers the Bruins for the Boston Globe, the Boston Bruins, he tweeted out on draft night, "Don't let Craig Button screaming dominate you. You're going to beat it. Don't let it take over your lives."
By the way, Craig Button... friend of the pod. People forget.
That's right.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah.
He
stopped
by definitely. Briefly. John,
I forget. Did he yell when he was on our show? I forget.
He was a little loud. He was a little loud, though. I mean,
it was
he
a loud
jumped
room,
into our conversation.
It was a loud room.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a loud room, and his shoes were very loud, I recall.
That's right. I remember
shoes.
That.
Yeah. Yep. John, your tweet of the week.
Yeah. This comes from Adam Vingan, who is a writer for The Athletic in Nashville. So he covers the Predators. And he's got a screenshot of a comment from one of his articles earlier in the week previewing the draft. The comment from the article is from Mark C. And it says, "I will rip hair out and set fire to something if we use our 11th overall pick to select a goalie." And so Adam Vingan has that screenshot and he says, "Pay up, Mark C."
Did he do it?
He actually did it. He actually replied and showed him ripping a small couple hairs out and then lighting them on fire.
Oh, I actually have two tweets of the week. My first tweet of the week comes from at the Oak Leafs, also known as Active Stick. And this was just before the draft. It says, "I can see the Leafs swapping their pick for a different pick or staying where they are in the draft or trading the pick altogether for an existing player." Kyle Dubas, the actual Kyle Dubas, responded to it and just said, "I could see that." That's funny. My other tweet of the week comes from Southpaws Sports. It says, we all heard about this FBI. You hear this? You see this? You hear about this? The FBI, yes. Like, taking down the plot to kidnap the Michigan governor, which was the weirdest thing ever. It says, "This is the home of Joseph Morrison, one of the Michigan men who recently arrested for his plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Can we recognize that maybe economic circumstances play a role in radicalizing people?" And then it's got pictures of the home, and the pictures of the home are very obviously the home that Phil Kessel had for sale like a couple years ago, where it's like the big movie theater room that's just got
with the single
chair. Yeah.
And so what's those dummies, those mannequins?
Yeah, it's like mannequins wearing Team USA gear and a picture of Phil in the background.
That's so awesome.
And that person, Southpaws Sports, responded to it and just said, "Deep cut, but real heads know." All right, that wraps up episode 108. Thanks for sticking with us. I know it was a little bit of listing things and just saying
what
happened and all that.
It was
a bit of a grind, but you know what? We got through it. I hope that it was informative and you enjoyed it as well, because I did. I enjoyed it. I'm going to go back to drinking college sodas now. Thank you again to Sherwood for your 5-star review. Please do leave your 5-star review if you haven't already. Subscribe on Stitcher, subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Spotify, and we will talk to you all next week for episode 109. Cheers.